Kia ora, I'm Strawn Coleman, a writer, musician, and spiritual director from Aotearoa, New Zealand. And you're listening to the Beholding Prayer podcast, an experiential prayer accompaniment to my book, Beholding, Deepening Our Experience in God. In these first few short episodes, I'm covering a few elements of the way we're going to experience prayer in this space. I recognize that every one of us has a unique prayer journey. Many of us have learned prayer by being around others in public and either hearing them pray from an altar or a stage for groups of people or for others interpersonally. The chances are, though, that many of us were never actually taught prayer formally and just either picked up whatever we could from others or made it up as we went. But just as we've been subconsciously taught prayer by seeing whatever is taking place in our communities, we've probably also picked up some cultural assumptions about what it's not. And sometimes there can be a good amount of fear, skepticism, or heavy criticism around it. That's why last week we looked at breathing, because some may have concern that breathing is not found in the Christian tradition. And I wanted to lay a little, and I emphasize little, groundwork for it in Christian theology and experience. And today I want to do the same with presentness. We live in profoundly unique times. Distraction and noise have always been a part of our world, yes, but never to the degree that we experience it today. We can forget that the world had 1 billion people only 200 years ago, and that the extra 7 billion that exist today have created dense supercities, leading the World Health Organization to name noise pollution as the second most harmful environmental factor after air quality. But external noise and distraction isn't the only issue we face. Technological distraction is at an all-time high too. It's impossible to really quantify just what the hundreds of beeps, vibrations, and pings our phones give off a day are doing to our brains. At the least, we already live in two worlds, two kingdoms, the real and the digital. The digital often taking more of our mental and emotional time than the tangible. The result? A massive disconnection between our minds and our bodies. We can quickly get stuck upstairs in our heads, full of anxiety, hurry, or just discombobulated thoughts, and struggle to feel present to the actual physical environment we're in at the time. This connection can become a vicious cycle where the anxiety it induces leads us to numb more through technology use, which then makes us more depressed, which then encourages more numbing, until we're so disembodied that we can't find our center anymore. So imagine that we're living even half that spin cycle, and then we come to prayer. Often, much of our struggle with prayer is that we're trying to come to a total stop at 100 miles per hour, and it hurts. In order to awaken to and experience God's presence, we have to re-land ourselves in our own selves and our own present first. Because it takes two persons to form a relationship, and if we can't bring all of ourselves to God, we'll struggle to experience God in all of ourselves. That's where presentness, or as it's commonly referred to today, mindfulness, comes in. At a bird's eye view, mindfulness is a modern neuroscientific way of bringing ourselves into the present and into our bodies. Massive breakthroughs in technology have given the scientific community a pretty profound look at the way the brain works, and so much of what we've taught as mindfulness is often a reverse engineering of things like prayer and ancient spiritual practices just based on the maps of the active brain discovered through experiments. Personally, I found mindfulness in my life incredibly helpful, especially as someone who suffers chronic sickness and has to continually reshape my relationship with my body as a result. Mindfulness has played a significant role in bringing down my anxiety levels in times of real struggle and has aided me in the healing of my immune system in more recent times. But mindfulness is always a servant to prayer. What do I mean by that? I mean that mindfulness in itself isn't enough. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to encounter God. By coming into the present moment and connecting with my body in a meaningful way, I'm aiding that process. But that is not the end in and of itself. My hope is not in some kind of neuroscientific technique. My hope is in God alone. That's really where Christian prayer and secular practices of mindfulness diverge. Mindfulness is a doorway into prayer, but it is not prayer. So I practice mindfulness as a step toward God. Then once my mind is settled and I'm present to the moment, I lift my eyes and heart to the one who profoundly loves me, and I welcome his presence. I look to him. You'll notice that each of the prayers in this podcast begin with some form of mindfulness, sometimes briefly, and sometimes with what's called a body scan. A body scan is the practice of noticing the way your body feels as a way of arriving to the present and reconnecting your flurried mind with the rest of yourself. In some prayer practices, this can be a powerful way to bring your whole selves to God, and it will be particularly helpful if you struggle with anxiety, racing thoughts, distraction, heaviness, depression, or just an inability to focus during prayer. I want to finish with this quote from a neurotheologian, Jim Wilder, from his book, Renovated. In the book, he enters into dialogue with Dallas Willard over the place of prayer, mindfulness, and Christian maturity. And he says this, "Similar to what Dallas will soon tell us about spiritual disciplines, mindfulness cannot be considered a righteous act. Mindfulness and spiritual disciplines are preparations for encountering God. Goodness is not found in preparations, but in the encounters they help facilitate." I appreciate that. What he's trying to say is that spiritual disciplines like fasting and this and that or mindfulness, none of these things in and of themselves have any value to prayer and to intimacy with God outside of ourselves arriving to them with faith and inviting the Holy Spirit into it. I genuinely believe that the practice of presentness is an act of worship, because we're refusing to get caught up in the headiness of a distracting world, and we're tuning ourselves into the life that is, the life that God created. But it's up to us to invite God into that presentness, to turn all that awareness and that joy and that life of the world that we live in toward God and invite him in. Breathing and presentness, or mindfulness, can provide powerful support to our prayer lives. God has made us bodies, and those bodies were made to meet with God and commune with him. Sometimes, understanding how our bodies are made to meet with God and bringing that into our prayer space can really help us in beginning to experience and become aware of God's presence.